Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, helping businesses discover the power of productivity through a diverse workforce. Focusandfind.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business, the News Hour. Grateful that you are listening from wherever on the planet you might be. With me as a guest is Mark Langan. Mark is with a couple of organizations that sound at first, and I know this to be accurate, sound at first to many businesses to be a little scary. He is with No Justice, No Peace. Also, another organization called the New Frontier Action. We're going to talk about both of those things from the business standpoint. And Mark, welcome back. It's been a couple of years since you've been on the Business News Hour. Grateful to have you back with us.
Thanks for having me, Michael. Appreciate it.
All right. So let's dive into this a little bit. You know, we have seen a spring and summer like I don't remember since 1967, 1968. I'm an old guy, so I remember those things. And particularly in the area of social unrest and issues within our communities that have a long-standing place in American history. And over this time period, No Justice, No Peace has been seen all over the United States as well as foreign countries. And sometimes it makes business people a little nervous. So let's talk about what is No Justice, No Peace? What should business people understand? And what might, at that understanding, be a benefit to individuals should they embrace No Justice, No Peace? Mark?
Yeah, so No Justice, No Peace. We're a federal political action committee, meaning we work in elections. We're about supporting candidates for office that have embraced a policy agenda that puts justice front and center, and not just justice for those with access to resources and political power, but those who are struggling. And, you know, when it comes to the connection between no justice and the concept, the idea of peace, is our thinking is that, yeah, we can say as Americans that we have equality of opportunity and number of things that are guaranteed in our Constitution and our Bill of Rights and in laws over the years, but we'd be fooling ourselves to think that those laws have been applied in any sort of equitable fashion, where there's some equity in outcomes and opportunities for all. And particularly, like, I think the protests of the spring and summer have raised a lot of important questions about how a lot of that equality of opportunity is leaving large chunks of our society behind, and increasingly and predominantly, or disproportionately, I guess, communities of color, people in our Black and Latino communities in particular here in Iowa, that haven't really seen all the benefits, all the payout, you know, and kind of the juxtaposition of No Justice, No Peace is that really we can't tell ourselves that our communities are safe and at peace until there's justice for everyone, to where people have equity in both opportunity and outcomes in their communities so that they can live and prosper. And really that's what No Justice, No Peace is. And taking that energy and that power and channeling it into elections is really the focus. And so there's a few policy priorities, things like criminal justice reform, reducing over-incarceration of African-Americans and Latinos in our jails and prisons, things like ending the death penalty. We just saw the Trump administration, execute a federal inmate for the first time during the presidential transition period in between Trump leaving office and the swearing in of Vice President or President-elect Joe Biden in January, to the legalization and decriminalization of marijuana or cannabis at both the federal and local level, all areas where we think there's an opportunity to bring more justice to our communities and make our communities safer, healthier for everyone.
Mark Langan, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. We're talking about No Justice, No Peace. One of the things that we focus on here on the Business News Hour is the link between equality, equity, if you will, and economics. We have long been part of that system that believes that if there is to be equality, it must also start with the economics of the reality of which we find ourselves. And to that end, you know, it would be, I would think, critical for business people to start to understand that if you don't have certain things, like the idea of peace in the family and peace with your bank account and peace with your job and all of those things, if those things aren't there, you're going to have discourse. Would that be accurate?
Yeah. So, and I assume you meant like discord.
Discord. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry.
You know, no. Sorry to.
No. Well done.
but yeah, I think you're right. You know, in the sense that, you know, ultimately putting food on the table, taking care of your kids, raising a family, having access to health care that's affordable and not entirely tied to your job, a number of other kind of like just basic things are at the foundations of a more just and equitable polity, you know, or community. And it's one of the reasons that, like, so New Frontier Action, kind of our sister organization, a 501c4 nonprofit here, you know, and No Justice, No Peace, we're focused on working in 25 Iowa counties, as far as our program here in the state, with poverty rates that exceed the statewide average. Statewide average for poverty is about 10 to 11%. And so it's a mix of counties. I mean, you might think that it was primarily urban counties, but it's not. It's a mix of small and large communities, even includes some counties with large colleges. I mean, Story County, where Ames, Iowa State University is in Ames, has a poverty rate that exceeds 20%.
Oh.
And we really are kind of using that as a way to kind of focus our energy and resources and to work on issues that kind of cross lines between urban and rural communities. You know, criminal justice is a real issue in rural areas. You know, they don't have the facilities. We have county courthouses and a number of other things in counties across the state that are inadequate for both the safety of our communities, but as well as the health and safety of inmates and those that are incarcerated. So there's a number of areas that I think they come together. And if we can strengthen those communities, you know, we've often said if, you know, a rising tide lifts all ships, but that has not been the case in today's economy. And so for us to make sure our communities are strong and whole and not hollowed out, we need to come in with a kind of an equity focused agenda that is about bringing up those that are in poverty and bringing them into the middle class, but also strengthening opportunities for the middle class so that we don't have these great divisions in our communities that get in the way of progress.
Mark Langdon, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. We're talking about a whole series of issues related to, at this point, poverty. One of the things that you mentioned early on, Mark, was people of color, African-Americans and Latinos. And then we're talking about counties in Iowa, and this broadcast emanates out of Iowa, but I would suspect that this is across the United States broadly, that that many communities, many individuals who find themselves in poverty, food insecurity issues, all types of things that are the hallmark of that word poverty, include a vast number of Caucasians, yes?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons, you know, we're really focusing on these 25 counties in Iowa, but also, you know, our work in Georgia that we're doing around Senate runoffs is focused in rural, more downstate communities in Georgia, very different than the agricultural communities than we have here in Iowa in terms of the types of products produced, but still a lot of similar issues. And you know, we need to be able to address some of those core questions of poverty in order to, you know, improve the tax base in these areas, to create the resources for investing in schools and other kind of core infrastructure that help, you know, have always shown that we can grow the middle class with a quality public school infrastructure and a number of other issues. And I think those are not unique to just you know, Black and Latino neighborhoods, but they're things that we're seeing in rural parts of the state. And so one of the biggest things that we're really focused on is how do we build program, build policy that helps generate wealth, that builds multi-generational wealth in both rural areas and in urban areas. And, right. and in rural communities, you know, it's increasingly difficult for a small farmer to be able to pass a farm on to their kids. And not because of, you know, the estate tax or some question along those issues, but really just because the economics of agriculture have gotten to the point where they completely disadvantage the small producer. And that's not, and so it makes it harder for them to get access to capital and banking and a number of other issues. And we see that in Black and Latino neighborhoods and entrepreneurs wanting to start up a hair salon or a restaurant or a small retail business on Main Street in Waterloo or downtown Des Moines or wherever it may be. And so we want to try to design policy that crosses those boundaries.
As we talk about policy that may cross those boundaries, what types of policy, what to the meat of this, what would you like to see? And we're not talking about handouts because people have to understand, and this is so difficult sometimes. You know, we all watch the stock market and we think, oh, yeah, the stock market's up or whatever, whatever. But the stock market is not the economy of this nation. It is simply not. The economy of this nation is based on consumers having the financial wherewithal to buy stuff. I mean, that's at the bottom line, that is what drives this economy. And if so, if we're taking a look at in Iowa, 25 counties where it may be upside down, the poverty rate, that is not driving the economics in those counties. So what policy issues, Mark, might you want to really push forward and have people understand?
Yeah, so I think probably the two most concrete areas that we're initially focusing on in Iowa are, one is some sort of opportunity grant or no interest loan program targeted towards small business, Main Street economic development in a mix of both rural communities and in Black and Latino communities in larger cities in these 25 counties in particular, but that's using poverty as a benchmark for success. So really about, you know, propping up and building up small businesses, which is kind of really the growth engine of economies in those areas, because
right.
we're how much outflow there's been of manufacturing and other large employers out of the state. And in ways that have, you know, what's the best way to put it? You know, outcomes or deliverables that aren't purely just about, you know, this number of jobs at this wage rate, you know, but that is also about building ownership and wealth and, you know, building capital for these business owners so that, you know, they have sustainable businesses. I mean, the hollowing out of Iowa Workforce Development, there's a number of other economic development and training programs that have been outsourced and hollowed out at the state level and at the federal level over a number of years. And we need reinvestment there, and we need to do it in ways that cross between those urban and rural counties. The second area is access to high-speed broadband.
Oh boy.
And I think that there's a huge opportunity in that space. And I think that the pandemic and what we've seen both from an educational standpoint, as far as access to virtual learning, but also access to government services and just the ability to operate and pivot to e-commerce for a lot of small businesses have really faced a lot of hurdles when it comes to broadband. And I think that's an issue that, you know, really is bipartisan, you know, that folks can come together around.
Absolutely. And one of the things about that, and folks that have listened to this broadcast for the past 10, 12 years, know that I have been a proponent for years of rapid access to broadband internet for not only in our communities, in our cities, but also in rural areas, simply because that is like the rural electrification program of the 1930s, 40s, and 50s. As that was put together because of economics, so too is this in the 21st century. And, you know, I'm so grateful that folks like your group are taking a look at these basic economic fundamental programs that assist people no matter where they happen to be. Our guest is Mark Langdon, ladies and gentlemen, with the New Frontier Action, as well as No Justice, No Peace. All right, final question for you, Mark. When we talk about it, and I'm going to go back to what I first mentioned, how can businesses, whatever they happen to be, whether manufacturing, whether they be a retail service industry, whatever it happens to be, in not only Iowa, but across the United States, how can they become more aware, which is the first step, I think, but then more active in bringing equity and peace to their business and their community?
I mean, ultimately, I feel that equity follows the money.
Yep.
You know, like, it's one thing to hire staff that are going to work on diversity and those sorts of questions. I mean, I think it's great that United Way and others were involved in equity challenges here this year, here in the Des Moines Metro, for example. I mean, I was signed up and participated as well. But ultimately, it follows the dollars and being proactive and intentional in your hiring and selection of things like contractors, businesses that you work with, employees, consultants, a wide array of areas. And it's one of the reasons why when starting New Frontier Action and No Justice, No Peace, we felt it was really important to begin by hiring folks from within communities that are impacted, you know, primarily staff that is African-American, that has deep connections to the faith community around the state and nationally, for people like me to go out there and listen and hear from these communities that these are the challenges we are facing. We need help. You know, we need support. And it's not just, you know, Black folks and Latino folks and, you know, working within their own communities, but we've got to build political power that's across a wide swath of the state and nationally with allies. And so really, I think when it comes to a business wanting to understand how they're positioning in their community, they need to understand that just there's some pretty fundamental things in our things like our tax code, education policy, the way, you know, local zoning is done, that have huge impacts on who they've hired, the types of companies and contractors and businesses that they work with. And they're going to have to make some decisions that aren't necessarily in their short-term economic interests. And that's one of the bigger challenges is how do we show that those short-term investments and those short and medium-term efforts and commitments to equity can translate into long-term shareholder value, right? So that those larger companies recognize that there's a long-term economic benefit to them. You know, that we by lifting up these communities and making those investments in a more equitable and more just, you know, economic system and tax policy for that benefits all, it's going to, you know, ultimately make the bottom line fatter for those companies down the line.
It is that. Our guest has been Mark Langdon, ladies and gentlemen, with New Frontier Action, as well as No Justice, No Peace. Some very seminal points to make about the economy, not only of Iowa, but as we move across the United States, and how do we get to the point where everybody starts to win. Mark, thanks so very much for spending time with us. I certainly appreciate this.
Yeah, thank you. And for folks that are interested in more information, you can visit newfrontieraction.com or nojusticepac.org.
Once again, that's the voice of Mark Langdon. And yes, we will have those links up on our radio blog. Well, that's a wrap for today's edition. Thanks so very much for listening. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby, the voice
of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease, and the music you're listening to right now was arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Mark Langan, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.